Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Long Island medium hostess with the mostess, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood. To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
look. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Hey there, and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostess, Munoz. And it's the end of August, folks. We made it. Somehow, somehow we blinked and we are here. And yet I have still only been to the beach once during this whole mess. But let me tell you something. The tan is on fleek, people. The tan is on fleek and I am still eating everything in sight. Oh my goodness. How y'all doing out there, people? I am so excited for today's episode because the man that is on the other line, I have been gently and gingerly sliding into his DMs probably since he began. And I am so excited to have him here to laugh and talk with him. Please help me welcome the one, the only, the Grubfather, Sal DiBenedetto. Hey.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for taking time out of your extremely, extremely busy schedule just for my DK podcast, you know?
Oh, of course. Well, I wanted to make this happen for so long, but it's just been like, you know, our scheduling problems were whatever, but here we are. So yeah, I'm ready to dive in deep.
Yes, and something happened recently that we're going to get into that I hit you up and I was like, now there is no excuse. You have to come on so we can throw a big old party. But for those of you out there who may not know who Sal is, right? Sal DiBenedetto is a 29-year-old entrepreneur and influencer from Long Island, New York.
Long Island.
Are you one of these people that believe Brooklyn is part of Long Island, or are we two separate things?
Well, I mean, culturally, we're two separate things, but geographically, you know, it's the same.
Because I'm a Bay Ridge boy, Sunset Park, Bay Ridge, originally. Okay, we're not fighting. That's great.
No, it's fine. I actually lived in Windsor Terrace, Brooklyn for 4 years.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
I love
that. So I was a Brooklyn boy for a bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, you fit right in. I am sure. So Sal is also the creative director of The Grubfather and the CEO of the Connect Agency. The Grubfather is a platform with an audience of over 230,000 food and travel lovers who are known as the Grub Fam. So, and I am definitely, I feel like an original Grub Fammer, Sal.
You definitely are. The messages prove it.
Listen, I stand by all my messages. Okay.
They were all great. I just wish that, you know, I could have fully diverged in the past.
No, you're
you
good.
Know, where our connection was.
No shame on this pod, honey. Shame. But before we get anywhere, I wanted to wish you happy National Cherry Popsicle Day.
Ooh, National Cherry Popsicle Day. Okay.
Yeah, right?
You're popping my cherry today, it seems.
Okay. You know what? I accept and I would is all I'm going to say. Y'all, if you don't know who Sal is and who the Grubfather is, please, while you're listening to this, just go on Instagram and type in the Grubfather. He will come right up and look at that face. I mean, he is like Pizza McHotterson, I would say, you know, like Mac and Cheese McDreamy. The face is...
I'm loving all these terms, okay.
Yeah, right? Listen. I'll do all your intros for you if you need, right?
I think that's great. You actually just gave me my new Grindr profile.
Oh, okay. Mac and Cheese McDreamy?
There we go.
All right. So now I know how to find you there too.
Great. There you go.
But back to
Mac
Cherry.
Mac and Cheese McDreamy. There we
Mac
go.
Mac and Cheese. I don't know if that's like sexy or not, but like... attached to Grindr, maybe not. Attached to your Instagram, Most definitely.
Maybe. Yes, there you go. Okay.
But back to popping cherries and National Cherry Popsicle Day. I often ask my guests, who invents these things and like where they come from? Do you have any idea like why we're just celebrating National Cherry Popsicle Day?
You know, I think that food holidays just give, I don't know how long they've been around for, but if I had to take a guess, they probably all took their rise around the time that like Instagram and like Facebook started, and it gave media a way to kind of keep relevancy with what they were posting. I think we've gotten a little bit crazy now in that sense, because now it's like, you know, National Corn Tortilla with Black Beans, but no meat and a little bit of cheese and sour cream day. But I think that it definitely helped to like keep media have headlines, especially within food.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had a popsicle this summer?
I have a popsicle, a boozy popsicle. Yes, I have actually.
Yeah, I haven't even had that. This summer blows, even though I feel like I'm having a good time somehow, you know?
It's been a crazy summer. I think that it's definitely just kind of like given us a new perspective on how we should really be like living our lives. There was a lot of things that I feel like people didn't even realize they needed to kind of like learn during this time. So
yeah, there's been a lot of purging and a lot of learning, I feel, you know?
Yes, for sure.
All of that out of National Cherry Popsicle Day.
Exactly. We just went deep on National Cherry Popsicle Day. So there we go.
And taking you right into this day in gay history, because we always need to call on our gay voices of the past. In 1904, Krister Isherwood is born in Wybersleg Hall, United Kingdom. Do you know who Christopher Isherwood is, Sal?
Christopher Isherwood. I do not know.
It came in the box. It came in the box.
Did it? Was it next to the unicorn or
no? It was next. Oh, okay. It was next to the DVD of Cabaret.
Like the Paris is Burning one or which
no
one?
Cabaret with Liza Minnelli.
Oh, Cabaret with Liza Minnelli. Got
all
it.
Right. You know what? We're gonna.
I don't know who he is, but do tell me.
So Christopher Isherwood was an Anglo-American novelist, playwright, screenwriter, autobiographer, and diarist. His best-known works include Goodbye Berlin, a semi-autobiographical novel which inspired the musical Cabaret, A Single Man, adapted as a film by Tom Ford, and Christopher and His Kind, a memoir which carried him into the heart of the gay liberation movement.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he had a lot to do with kind of like, what you call it? I guess theater, right?
Yeah.
Did they turn Cabaret into a show?
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Or has it gotten the full treatment? Is it like a movie, a show?
It's a movie. It's a show. It's Liza Minnelli. It's Judy Garland's daughter.
So it was like was it a cultural reset a little bit? Like it like redefined some types of, you know.
Yeah, he definitely left his made his mark, and then Cabaret, which came like from, it was like associated with him because it came out of one of his books, you know, is definitely a cultural stamp, you know, yes. Which we are just going to pause this podcast right now so I can take Sal to watch Cabaret.
I'm going to have to watch that. So it's Christopher Isherwood's birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Christopher.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. But let's get into the nitty gritty. So from whence came the Grubfather? Like, what made you like decide one day, right, to just be like, I'm just going to be this big Long Island food influencer with like mac and cheese and pizzas and sauces and cheese pulls? And like, where did all that come from?
Well, I was a waiter my whole entire life. So even before being a waiter at the legal age of what, like 14 years old of working in a restaurant, I was working on street fairs with my parents because they actually had a pina colada and lemonade stand at all the street fairs, you know, in New York City, San Gennaro. They did the Pride Festival actually many times. So, you know, they actually met at San Gennaro themselves. And I'd been, you know, just slinging pina coladas and lemonade since I was 2 years old, I guess, whenever I could stand up. But that kind of got me accustomed to wanting to get into that hospitality without even realizing it. And then I remember I got a job at a restaurant, and I just fell in love with the idea of serving people food and learning about food and all that type of stuff. So I worked in a lot of pizzerias. When Instagram started, I just kind of dove in head first into that food realm of it, because that was one of the really hot topics of Instagram at the time, was food photography and food porn. So I hopped in and, you know, I had a few great collaborations, right place, right time. And the following kept growing. And I was living in Brooklyn actually at the start of it. And I was moving back to Long Island and I was like, it's over. I was like, that's it. I was like, that was a great run being a food blogger, but nothing is going to happen for me on Long Island, until I realized when I got to Long Island, nobody was doing what I was doing. So it just kind of busted this lane wide open. And I was just, you know, rolling with it. So then I got a huge Long Island following, which was great because, you know, those are my people. That's where I like, grew up and was raised. And
let me tell you out there, Sal, I have a bunch of Long Island lady friends who are obsessed with you.
Oh, really? Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, ladies of the Long Island Studio of Music out there.
I love it. Well, yep. Hello, ladies. I hope you hear this. And thank you for being a follower.
Yeah. Listen, I'm always sharing the love when I can, especially with local food people who are doing, you know, who are doing what you right. do. It's like, well, you're already on Long Island and he's posting all what looks like all this amazing food and all these yep. amazing things. Like, why aren't you following him? Because you're always looking for some place new to go, you
exactly.
know?
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I mean, yeah. it's so important to just be able to kind of like support other local people. And you know, look, I do a lot of stuff with international and national brands, but a huge thing too is kind of shining that spotlight on the local businesses. And I think that that's a huge kind of thing we've just seen erupt in the past like decade, is this shift from these big chain restaurants to people wanting to be foodies, right? And check out the little hole in the wall spots and find that spot nobody knew of, but now they know about it and they can tell all their friends. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm, and I think that applies to what's happening today in the world too, like highlighting and spotlighting really local businesses, right, that are producing really good things that actually may need help at this time as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I haven't dove that deep into your Instagram, so I don't know if you're doing a lot of that, but like just all the promotion that you do as is on a daily basis of all these local joints, I'm sure helps them out a ton.
Well, I take it even a step further, and you know, my agency, which is called The Connect, it's a digital marketing company and a creative agency, right? So what we're doing is we're actually helping all of these restaurants to build out their own social media platforms. So their Instagrams are popping, you know, they have the best videos, the best photos that are getting pumped out to their people and creative captions and all of that. So yes, in a sense, like, yes, on the page, on the Grubfather, we are highlighting and promoting all of these places. But what I really find valuable is that I could take it a step further and make a difference for them on a daily basis. And a lot of my clients have actually seen an increase in sales this year compared to last year, despite everything with COVID, because what COVID did was kind of give restaurants an opportunity. If your marketing is good, you're going to win.
Yeah, you know? because all takeout.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been a very interesting idea, and it's been great to see my clients prosper, because it makes me feel like me and my team know what we're doing and it's working. So that's been great.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I mean, just to keep this restaurant industry alive, which is, you know, suffering so much now, and two people who are doing, who are very niche market, if I do say so myself, within what they're doing, you know, because you're very local and I'm here, you know, telling people stories through a food lens. It's kind of like shifting that focus in a different way to these restaurants in need, and that domino effect ends up, you know, not only helping the restaurants and helping the business owners, but therefore domino affecting into the staff, domino affecting into the delivery people, you know, the cooks and so on and so forth. So I think that's really, really awesome.
And I think it's also something to note too, especially like with everything that's going on with COVID and saving restaurants and all that, what you're going to find is that a lot of people do like it's the types of businesses are really what's being affected. because the fine dining, the places that really thrived on sit down and bar, they're taking the biggest hit. Because a lot of places that that are doing pizza and burritos and tacos and heroes, you know, they're winning right now because they've had such a great takeout audience for so long that this is just enhancing that. My fear is that we're going to see kind of the end of the fine dining restaurants, because think about some of the most iconic places in New York City itself, like 11 Madison Park. I would love to see them be able to kind of curate a way for them to kill it on takeout, but are they going to be able to hold on to their prices and their price points in doing that? Because I know I sure as hell I'm not paying $1,000 to take out food.
Exactly.
So that's what my biggest fear is for places like that, who were at the top of the world, right? These people were at the top of the food chain. They had their reputation. They had their name. They had the amazing food. But now the cultural norms have shifted and they're now at the bottom and kind of having to figure out, how do I survive in this climate?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And the pizzeria joint is like, I'm killing it, you know?
Yeah, because it's like, well, what are we having? What's quick and easy for the kids and so on and so forth? You know, right. The pizza, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, so on and so forth. Two things to that sentiment. Someone was talking to me the other day about this like make your own taco place. And I was like, if I'm going out to eat, I don't want to have to like work. Like if I wanted to make my own tacos, I would.
Wait, as in like you have to like go and scoop the meat and all that?
Well, like no, they'll like, you just build it out. They'll cook it for okay. you. But you like.
Well,
like, but like.
I don't know. I kind of like that though. I like being able to like, I like the user experience of being able to put them in. But I do think that it's also important for them to have their own signature combos.
Exactly. But at the same time, how long is that going to last with this, right? That's not feasible in this time because everybody's hands and fingers oh, right. and things are in there.
100%.
And most, like a month ago or so, I had sous chef Kate Pelayo of Tao LA on the pod, and she was talking about their takeout game and how things come with like little like instruction cards and stickers and like little sauce things and how to like plate and so on and so forth. And so they were trying to build out that user experience to keep mm-hmm. that like Tao experience at home since you're taking out. I don't know if the price point has changed, even though there's a lot of like fancy sushi at Tao as well. But yeah, I'm really interested to just see how that all plays out, especially if you can only get like fine dining from like Postmates or like Caviar, which are like higher end delivery services. So you're already paying a premium on the delivery. And then on top of that, you're paying right. more money for the fine dining.
Yeah. I think that it's just seeing how many restaurants have kind of morphed their takeout game has been a very interesting thing to observe. And I think that, you know, the whole restaurant industry in general during this time period and during the pandemic, it's going to be interesting to look back and see what long lasting effects, you know, it has had on dining, which, because I think it's obviously going to have a huge impact on this industry, and it's going to have long term effects. I think that, you know, once we get through the pandemic and we have a vaccine, we're going to go back to the lifestyle and the stuff that we once had, like bar life, sitting at bars and enjoying ourselves. But until we get there, there's definitely going to be a little bit of like a huge shift in how restaurants operate.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I want to like take a short turn in talking about like looking back and seeing shifts happen during this quarantine. Recently, you had a really major life event happen.
Yes.
And you know, you're going to look at back at this time in a really special way, I would think, right? Right? Well, let's tell the kids what just happened about 2 months ago.
So 2 months ago, I actually came out on my page and, you know, told everybody that I was gay. But, you know, just a little background fact for you.
Yeah.
I actually came out last August to friends and family. So it has almost been a year that I've actually been out, but it was a long journey to get there. And I really wanted to give myself time to come out to my friends and family, give myself, you know, a year to take it all in, to learn things, to understand this, who I am, and before I put it out there to the general public, because I just felt that time was so precious to kind of like learn about myself and learn about the gay experience, because, you know, that's, it's just like living a whole different life.
Boy, is it an experience.
It is an experience.
So as he says, posting pictures from Fire Island, you know, socially distant photos.
Yes. But, you know, I had that Fire Island experience last year when I came out. I made gay friends and, you know, they took me under their wing, and I've been friends with them almost, you know, since I came out last year. So, you know, it was an interesting thing to do at 29 years old, and I've had girlfriends my whole life. And it's been a long journey, and just arriving here, and I feel the most comfortable I've ever felt in my whole life at this current day.
Well, congrats. And we are here to throw a party. I put up the cray paper and there's rainbow flags. There's one up there. We're throwing a party for Sal. So this story is, your journey, I should say, is twofold here. And I want to explore it for a second, because I always say on the pod that our stories, especially our coming out stories as gay men, LGBTQIA people, queer people, are each unique, and we never know who's listening and who it can help out there. And so coming out first to your friends and family, what was that like a year ago? And like, what made you decide this needs to happen now?
So I knew that it was a time because I had actually taken, you know, me and a girl who I was dating very seriously. We had broken up in January. So I gave myself that time. I think it was 8 months between then and August, to travel the world, to, just kind of like, you know, take some time to myself and really look inwards and see like, what is what I want, you know, like who am I? And when people say like they soul searched, I genuinely did soul search. That went everywhere. I was in Hawaii. I was in Singapore. I was, you know, in Monaco, Amsterdam. I went everywhere across the world. And I came to the conclusion, actually, like it was in Paris and I was with my cousin, and I just realized, I was just like, this is who I am. Like, I'm a gay man. You know, this is where I can now identify it. And my cousin's one of my best friends. So she was one of the first people who, like, you know, people had known in the past, I was like curious, or like, you know, I had experimented, but to actually like say those words and be confident in it, that was super important for me. When I came out to my, you know, I came out to my friends and family, it was nothing but positive reactions. And I feel really blessed for that, because I know that it came to a shock to so many people. You know, I still deeply care about my ex-girlfriend, and to this day we are like very good friends. But for me, that was really important to kind of make sure I did it in a respectful way, in a way that respected like what her journey was going to be through it as well. And just like, you know, my mom and my dad had this whole image of me of growing up and having kids with a woman and getting married to a woman and, you know, having that life. So I think it kind of comes as a little bit of a death to the life they thought I was going to live. So I tried to do it as peacefully, respectfully, and happy as possible. But, and I got nothing but great reactions.
That's incredible. Was that a positive reaction or a negative reaction from the parental unit?
It was very positive.
Oh, perfect.
My mom
perfect.
Thought that I was like joking around. She thought I was playing like a joke on her for a solid day. And then she finally like realized it. And then I didn't want to tell my dad at first, just because, like, I don't know. It's not that he's any type of way. He's always been a very accepting guy, but that was like a very nerve-wracking one for me. And she was like, listen, if you don't tell him after, you know, a week went by, she's like, I'm gonna have to. So like, you gotta, you know, do something. So I told him, and his first words were like, give me a hug. And then I told all my family shortly after that. And then it was kind of like known, you know, if you were my friend or I talked to you personally, I would never lie about it. It was just very something I was like open about, but not screaming per se on my blog.
That's that's incredible, and congrats on that story and that beautiful journey of yours. And I totally, well, I mentally, as a fellow gay man here, I get this whole dad thing, although I haven't seen my father since I was 14 or something like that. But so I never got a chance to come out to him, but I get that thing, whether accepting or not. Like, I feel like the male figures, that impression of like, I need to be a certain way, whether they're putting that on you or not, it's like that fear is there. And I forget who I was talking to about this on the pod not that long ago, about like the fear. There's just like this, and we don't know where it comes from, this inherent fear that like, oh, something bad's going to happen, even though there were no signals of anything bad happening, right. You know? Yeah. And not everyone's so lucky. So, and blessed.
Well, that's extremely family. True.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing that hit me the hardest, you know, with this whole thing was understanding that not everybody has that easy journey. Not everyone's parents hug them when they tell them. Some people lose their lives, you know, over it. So mm-hmm. that was definitely not lost on me.
No. And listen, I threw my mother in the deep end of the pool. Jesus, I did. Told her
did
one.
Did you throw a life raft?
Not even. The poor okay. thing. But she's great. She loves her a gay bar. She's always begging good. Me to go out.
That's usually how it happens, honestly. Yeah. You know, it's so, like, I feel like a lot of people I've talked to, they said, you know, my mom or my dad hated it at first. And then, you know, I had to kind of like lay it out to them, like, this is who I am. And now they will come with me to Fire Island, you know? So,
yeah, it's incredible. And just by the deep end of the pool, queer as folk, because I'm just a hair older than you are, 132 days till my 40th birthday, by the way.
And not for your age.
Right? What?
Like the new 30.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. 40 is the wow. new 30. Like,
spoken, you know what? Spoken like a true gay man. Just shady. Just
honey.
Shady. Just, you know what? A year into this, and it seems like you got the hang of it, Sal. I made him blush, man. People. No, Queer as Folk was really big back then, and I was really into it. And so I used to hide watching it from her. And then I came out one day, and then the next day we were watching Queer as Folk together, and she did not know. I did not throw her a life raft, but she, you know, she held her own for sure.
Good.
I was talking, this thing is twofold, because coming out to your audience is a whole different experience, I could imagine. And what was that response like?
So at first, right before I pressed go on it, I was just like, wow, I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, I said I could lose a lot of followers. Not to say that, like, I think that the world is a bad place in that regard, but just like, you never know, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I was actually...
The internet is fickle.
Listen, the internet's a crazy place. And I was at 199,000 followers at that day. And I was like, all right, let's see what this does. You know, just like, I was just curious. So I pressed, you know, go on it. And at first I got a few hateful comments. I got, I lost about like 100 followers, but then the needle turned and all of a sudden it was just like this outpouring of love. And within like, I don't know, a few weeks now I'm at 230,000 followers. And I mean, you know, that's because of the food and stuff like that. I'm not going to say I came out and I got 30,000 extra followers, but I will say that I think that my audience really took to the fact that I was being authentic with them and felt comfortable enough to, you know, share this other side of myself. And it was a beautiful, overall, a very beautiful experience. And I'm just really proud to have the people that follow me because it was such an incredible moment.
That's incredible. And yeah, the internet's a crazy place, and you know, where everyone has an opinion and their opinion matters. And I'm sure you see a lot of that, a lot with so many.
You know what? I've gotten to the point now where I just go ahead and if anyone leaves a negative comment on my page or on a post, whether it's like, you know, the food looks like shit or like, you know, you're so annoying, I hate your voice because I do my voiceovers, I just delete it. In the past, I used to respond. Now I just have no time for it. You know what? If you spend your time leaving negative comments, I'm so sorry, but you know, it's not gonna live here. So spend your time, you know, writing sentences. You just wasted your time because it's gone now. So yeah.
All right. We haven't hit the clapback queen phase of your gay journey.
I have definitely clapped back a few times, but. For me, it's just like, I don't know, it doesn't fit my brand, you know?
Yeah,
it doesn't
of course
fit my brand
not.
To like just curse someone out. Cause I am all about being a very positive person. I'm all about keeping your energy at 100%. I like to look at the glass half full. And to me, to give anybody else that energy is doing yourself a disservice. So even listen, anybody who's like listening, if people are giving you negativity, just turn the cold shoulder to it, because all it's going to do is bring you down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Listen, the only people I clap back to my little following is those DM us for a collaboration. All the bots.
That's the worst. Instagram needs to do something about that.
Right. I can't believe you check all those comments, but we're going to talk about that in the minute, because I think now is a perfect time to take a quick break to take Sal into my favorite part and your favorite part of the pod, a little something we like to call, Sal, food news update.
Food news, honey. You ain't ready, girl. Spill the tea. News update.
KFC is donating 1 million pieces of chicken to help feed the new wave of frontline workers.
Lucky frontline workers.
So the KFC is donating 1 million pieces of chicken to teachers, actually, this time, because during like the like really hard part of the quarantine and the pandemic, even though we're still in the hard part of it, KFC donated 1 million pieces of chicken from its franchises to give out to doctors, nurses, and other first responders. And so last week, KFC announced its new Back to School Buckets initiative, which honors educators who are heading back to classrooms amid the ongoing pandemic. 1 million more pieces of chicken will be sent to franchises to fry up, and they will be delivered to local teachers, whether they are teaching in person or virtually. Literally, they represent America's new wave of frontline workers. Thanks, Delish.com, for that.
Wow, well, that's awesome. I actually have a collaboration coming out with KFC very shortly, because they have these new fries on their menu that are fantastic.
Yeah, yes. All right. Listen.
Okay, KFC. Okay.
I pulled it because I thought I was on brand, and now I'm really on brand.
You're on brand, honey. You are on brand.
Yes, we love fried chicken here on In Your Mouth, whether, you know, any form of it. So
fried chicken and champagne is the best combination.
Fried chicken and champagne. Oh, right. We're about to have to get married, Sal. you said the two G-spot words, fried chicken and champagne.
I know. It's the best combo you'll ever have.
Well, it looks like Sal and I are here. Now I'm blushing all of a sudden. it looks like we are here for this, KFC. Good for you. Keep up the good work. And I'm really excited to see your collab with them, Sal.
Thanks. Yeah, that's a good one.
You can get IPAs delivered to you by adoptable dogs through this California brewery today, actually. So today is also National Dog Day, if you didn't know, Sal.
Today is National Dog Day?
Yes, and not like the men who are dogs, right?
Well, you know, I got a few of those.
Oh, a few of them. We got to hurry up and finish this food news update. I need to know more.
Do you want my response to that headline?
Yes, sorry. We're just in it.
My response is sign me up, because there is nothing that I love more than rescue dogs. My dog's a rescue dog.
Oh, what kind of dog is it?
She is apparently an Italian Mastiff mixed with a Husky, but she looks like a Black Lab.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I live in 120 square feet in Times Square, so I have no room for a dog. I barely have any room for myself. So,
well, I have a dog and two cats, so I'm just, you know, I just can't stop rescuing animals. It's like,
yeah, I think I would too. But I have also a lot of friends that are allergic. But on this National Dog Day, the California-based Golden Road Brewing is delivering its new Hazy Pup IPA beer directly to people's doors, along with adoptable dogs from the dog rescue Wags and Walks. Beer-to-door service and the potential to fall in love with a new furry friend is available to you from August 27th to August 29th, from 12 to 4. All you have to do is order some Hazy Pup IPA, you know, and then you get some Hazy Pup IPA and 30 minutes of doggy playtime for $50.
Wow. Well, you know what? I would do it just for the dog playing.
Right. And then you'd end up,
adopting it. Yep. Yeah, so
two more dogs.
There's that.
Yeah. I've thought of fostering. because like the foster periods aren't like super long sometimes here in the city.
Yeah, I couldn't do that because I would just wind up adopting every single one.
I think that's
a foster failure, I believe they call it.
Yep, that's what would I would be. I wouldn't be able to say goodbye, you know.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying goodbye. So yeah, so this is happening in California. Guys, Golden Road Brewing, bring this to New York City, because Sal and I definitely would be on board with this. The nacho table trend on TikTok must be the most fun dinner you might make at home during quarantine. Have you seen this?
Yes, and I'm not that impressed.
I actually think it's really, really gross.
It's disgusting. And it's like, come on, like, this is your response to COVID-19.
Right? Like, let's invite. So in your mouth, listeners, basically the nacho table trend is you cover your table in like cellophane or something you don't care about, and you throw a bunch of chips on, and some, you throw some guacamole in a corner, and you throw a bowl of cheese somewhere else, and you, and everything's just on the table, and it's a make your own mess. It's kind of like a messier version of a cheese board.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
No, I think it's like bacteria, and I'm not even that much of a germaphobe, but I feel like it's just like waiting.
Yeah, me either. But it's just like, you know, listen, I think nachos are fantastic. I think sharing them between you and like someone else that, you know, you love or like you're around all the time, whatever. But in this day and age, I'm going to say like you could skip on the nacho appetizers for like big groups of people.
Yeah, right. Like it just sounds like you're just going to, you know, make your family unhealthy.
No,
there are better things you can put in yo mouths. Trust.
In theory, it's a cool idea. Just the executions that I've seen, I'm just not a fan of.
You know, like, why can't we use a bowl? Like,
why can't we just dip it into the cheese, you know? And
yeah, well, dipping is no longer. The dipping phase is
true.
The dipping days are done and over.
Personal dipping, though.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's somebody out there. Crafty Lumberjacks, if you're listening, like, hit me up. Let's collab. And with that, I think that's a great way to end Food News Update. I hope that left you inspired and just, like, brought you to a place of zen.
I do. I like that segment. That was great. I learned, you know, about adoption dogs and beer and COVID-19 festivities.
And yeah, all sorts of things. You know, we bring you the latest and greatest in food news here. So I've noticed you're cooking a lot lately. Have you been? Now, let me ask you something, because you seem to be like you're in good shape, but also everything you post is sauce, cheese, carbs. How do you avoid eating it all and staying in such good shape here?
Well, I taste test everything, because for me, the number one thing for my page is being able to promote places that are really good, because obviously my integrity with my audience is number one for me. And I recognize that there are people that only get to go out once a month for date night, you know, or only get to spend money once a month on, you know, having a nice meal at a restaurant. So if they're using my page as a guide, I feel it my duty to only promote places to that enhance someone's or to have an enhanced experience for someone's taste buds, right? So that's always been number one for me. So I always taste test things, and then I love to share with my friends, people that are on photo shoots with me, the waiters and servers. You know, it's definitely something that is fun, because food is meant to be shared, right? And sharing is caring. So, you know, I'll shoot a whole menu of things, and then call my friends up and be like, if I have leftover tacos from a shoot, hey, you know, break out the tequila, let's make some margaritas and eat some tacos.
And eat some tacos, yeah. But you're cooking a lot more lately in the style of what you post as well. I've seen like you're posting like kind of like quick TikTok-y, but not TikTok-y, like kind of recipe vids as well, like from home. Yep. Yes?
Yes. So I've always loved to cook. It's something that like I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. And you know, the person that I'm seeing right now is a fantastic cook. So that is
you beat me to the punch. Did you know I was going there?
Yes. I figured it was on the table, but, you know, so he's a fantastic cook and we have fun in the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. You eat and eat in the kitchen. I love it. I love that. Are we going to get a glimpse of Mr. Man on the site at any time, or will he forever stay incognito?
You know, we'll see how things go.
All right. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> I feel like I just asked you to say I love you. You were like, I care for you too. No.
you can have a glimpse right now if you want to tell the audience what you think.
Oh yeah. I'm sure he's equally as handsome. Hold on. Yeah. Are you just listening to this whole thing?
Oh, he's listening to me. He can't hear you.
Yes, that's right, because you have your AirPods in. Yes, I love it. I'd watch the videos. In your mouth, listeners. I would watch the videos, and that's all you need to know.
You would sure. love our food videos, and yep. you know.
That's what I'm talking about. What are you talking yeah. about?
I'm talking about anything, all right. Sign up for my OnlyFans link in bio. No,
listen, a lot of the times we ask to slide into the DMs. It hasn't happened yet, but if someone starts to slide in your DMs, the rule is you have to share with me, because I am... Like quarantine life, single quarantine life is very lonely over here, Sal.
My DMs can be a battleground at times. It's
oh my God.
Very interesting. But listen, it's also, you know.
Craziest DM you've ever received?
Craziest DM I've ever received. A guy asking me to bang his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? People are into it, I guess.
Whatever. Listen, I don't judge anybody.
Who are we to yuck anyone's yum? The Grubfather has taken you to a lot of different places as well. Favorite place you've been, like favorite like place and food experience?
I would say that my favorite food experience has been in Sicily. Yes. When I found my cousin, like my long lost cousin's restaurant with my family. And then I returned there a year later when I went back to Sicily, and the food has consistently just been like mind-blowingly good. And just the experience of like being in the town where my whole family grew up and eating at a restaurant there was very surreal. I will say that. And that's been a really amazing thing for me. And, you know, that was definitely among them. But listen, it's so hard to pin it down because I have so many favorite food experiences and moments, and the world is just filled with incredible places to eat. So,
yeah, you know. Sure. I just got to go to Italy for the first time last Thanksgiving.
Ooh, what part?
We went to, so my mom hasn't really traveled out of the country very much, and I took her on her first trip to Bogota, Colombia, like 5 years ago. And then, which is incredible. If you haven't been, you must go. It's incredible. And then she got the travel bug, you know, because once you leave, you always want to go. And so she begged me to take her to Italy. So we did Rome first for 3 days. And then we went down to Sorrento, and then we did Positano, Pompeii, Sorrento, then Naples, then home.
Amazing. Those are all such incredible places. For me, the Amalfi Coast is another one that's just like in out of this world, you know? Yeah. But if I had to like pin down my favorite places in the world and places I continuously return to, it would be Charleston, South Carolina, Kauai, Hawaii, Sicily, Amsterdam, and Lisbon, Portugal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Charleston, South Carolina. I love that. Shout out to you, Callie's hot little biscuits.
Oh, I love Callie's. And Leon's. If anyone ever goes to Charleston, you got to eat at Leon's. Have the fried chicken, get a glass of champagne or Prosecco, and eat the oysters too. And you will. And end it with the soft serve ice cream, and you will thank me later.
I love that. I love that. Callie's also has some of the best pimento cheese I've ever had in my life. Before we close out, tell the people what's next for you.
I hope a television show. That's kind of what I'm gunning for right now. I really want to be a TV show host, food and travel, some maybe lifestyle. I don't really know. I have some things in the work right now, so it's definitely not something that's out of the question. But what I will say is that is definitely my goal, growing my company, becoming a millionaire, changing the world for the better, educating people on the beauty of culture around the world. I don't know. I'm going to build an empire. That's essentially it.
Yeah. And it looks like you're well on your way. I can't thank you enough for being on and taking time out of your very busy schedule for me today. It's
it's a pleasure and an honor.
It's great to finally connect and, you know, see your face in real time and, like, you know, because I always say I'm building a big gay food army, and yes, you're definitely, like, you know, 4-star general here.
I love it. I will lead our troops into battle as long as they're wearing Spanx.
That's a Spanx.
I'm not sorry, Spanx. I'm going back to my old straight days. I'm sorry.
There are a whole bunch of gay men out there wearing Spanx. We do not body shame here. So if you wear Spanx, good for you.
Keep your Spanx on, girls. You're going to love it.
All right. Not everyone has a skinny waist. All right.
All right. Fine. Maybe how about this? Wear an army of gays wearing whatever they want that makes them feel most comfortable with their beautiful bodies.
Okay, I was gonna just say hot pants and, like, glitter, but
okay, fine. Maybe a jock strap or two, but yeah.
Yes, because, you know, we are in full support of jock straps, especially if they are edible. Let the kids know where they can find you.
Yes, please come check it out. Join my Instagram at the Grubfather. Become part of the Grub fam. I promise you will love the journey.
Yes. Listen, I have been, I can attest that I have been on the ride for a long time, and I love every last minute of it. Thank you once again, Sal. This has been really, really incredible. Thank you. And I really just want to, like, express how special it is that I got to help share your story and how beautiful it was, and yeah, just how special it is in general. So thank you once again. Out there, it's the end of the summer. We got a week left, and soon enough we're going to celebrate a year of me doing this ish solo. So it's been a crazy year, and just such full of joy, and I can't thank you all out there enough. You know what? Keep wearing your masks, stay safe, and see you in September. And with that, thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.